Radio Prague News.
The Interior Minister has expressed deep concern over leaks from ongoing police investigations. The Governor of Zlin has issued a ban on entry to high-risk areas with African swine fever, and the energy group CES should decide on its future in Bulgaria by September. Interior Minister Milan Chovanec, who was questioned by a parliamentary committee on Tuesday in connection with leaks from ongoing police investigations, said he was deeply concerned by this phenomenon, calling it a cancer in the system. He said it was evident that some media had insight into such cases, which was totally unacceptable and could hurt innocent people. Chovanec said that while he respected the right of journalists to protect their sources, the matter should be investigated by the secret services and measures taken to prevent such leaks. A parliamentary committee was set up to investigate the matter after leaked telephone recordings revealed that a journalist had consulted ANO leader Andrei Babiš about the possibility of using information from an ongoing investigation so as to damage his political rivals. Zlin Governor Jiří Čunek has issued further measures in connection with the incidence of African swine fever in the region. The measures include a ban prohibiting people from entering fields in wooded areas where infected wild boar may be present. These areas will only be accessible to hunters and veterinary officials who are working to contain the spread of the disease by gradually eliminating all the wild boar in the region. There are believed to be some 400 animals in the given area. A 45-kilometer-long electric fence has been put up to prevent them migrating. The energy group CES expects to decide on its future in Bulgaria by September of this year, the company's CEO Daniel Bureș told the CTK news agency. CES has been mapping investor interest in its Bulgarian assets since January, but has not as yet made a final decision as to whether to remain in the country. Last year, the company decided to launch an international arbitration against Bulgaria after a number of interventions by the Bulgarian authorities that CES claims harmed its business activities in the country. In May of 2015, for example, CES was fined 17.1 million crowns for abuse of dominant market position. The construction of a new wooden church in Trinec Guti to replace the historic 16th century church that was damaged by fire last week is to begin next year. Officials of the Czech Catholic Church confirmed on Tuesday. The bishopric has already commissioned a construction project for the church, which, like the one from 1563, will be made of oak and pine wood. The new house of prayer is estimated to cost around 20 million crowns. The money for it will come from insurance, donations from the Culture Ministry and Catholic Church, and a public collection. Work on the new church should be concluded by the spring of 2019. And a plaque will be unveiled in Prague to the Czech composer Jaromír Weinberger on the 50th anniversary of his death on August 8, 1967. Jaromír Weinberger is best known for his opera Švanda Dudák. It premiered in Prague in 1929 and made him famous overnight. Švanda Dudák was the first Czech opera since Bedřich Smetana's The Parted Bride to be widely performed internationally. It was performed at the Metropolitan Opera in New York in 1931. Besides operas, his works include in orchestral and chamber music. Weinberger fled to the United States in 1939, where he spent the rest of his life. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Wednesday should bring partly cloudy skies with day temperatures between 24 and 28 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, we pay tribute to the last World War II paratrooper to land in the Nazi protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia. And Czechs adopt a Danish idea to help save newborn babies. And we steam up with a Czech rail enthusiast. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Brigadier General Jaroslav Klemeš, the last Czechoslovak paratrooper flown into the Protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia during World War II, has died. Defence Minister Martin Stropnický confirmed the news in a tweet on Monday, offering his condolences to the war hero, whom he said died peacefully at the age of 95. Dominic Yoon reports. Defence Minister Martin Stropnicki confirmed the news in a tweet on Monday, offering his condolences to the war hero, whom he said died peacefully at the age of 95. Jaroslav Klemeš was born to Czech parents in Slovakia in 1922. The family moved to Moravia after the declaration of the Nazi-recognized Slovak state in 1939, and a year later Klemeš decided to leave his native country too. He first escaped to Hungary and then traversed a route through Yugoslavia, Turkey and Syria before eventually ending up in France, where he served as a signalling officer in the Czechoslovak army for Edvard Beneš's government in exile. When the Germans occupied France, Klemeš followed the Czechoslovak government to Great Britain. There he underwent intensive training as a paratrooper before being assigned to a mission codenamed Operation Platinum Pewter. It took three attempts, but in February 1945 he joined three other soldiers in a daring mission flown in behind enemy lines. Klemeš was a radio operator for the mission. The group landed near the town of Chrudim in eastern Bohemia and were tasked with gathering intelligence and setting up a radio communication channel back to Britain. Speaking to the Memory of Nations project, Klemeš recalled a moment of drama during the night drop.
A dog started barking, then a second one joined in, and a third. It was always completely calm by the forest, and now such a racket. It was clear that something was going on. Windows lit up and people started peering out to see what was going on. Then we found our man and he didn't let us in. He was scared. We tried the password, but he said to come in the morning. He was afraid that people looking out from the houses would see people by his place, and so he was scared to let us in, and we couldn't wait there, so we went away.
Later, Klemeš travelled to Prague, maintaining covert communications with both London and the emerging Russian-backed Košice government in Slovakia. He also participated in the Prague uprising in May 1945, using a radio transmitter called Anna to relay information back to London. After the war, initial promotions and decorations, such as the Czechoslovak War Cross, made way to persecution by the communist regime after it came to power in 1948. 2 years later, Klemeš was expelled from the army by a regime inherently suspicious of anyone who had fostered contacts with the West. Demotion, months of interrogations, and a 2-year prison term on trumped-up charges followed. After being released, the regime forced Klemeš to work as a manual labourer in the northern Bohemian town of Ústí nad Labem. Years later, speaking to the Memory of Nations project, Klemeš recalled these attempts by the communists to humiliate him.
I thought they would dismiss us from the army. It was obvious this was going to happen, that they would say he does not fit into our politics anymore. But I never imagined they would imprison us, that they would try to humiliate us at all costs to lock us up and liquidate us.
Partial rehabilitation came for Klemeš in 1968, amid the liberal climate prior to the Soviet invasion that summer. After the fall of the communist regime, Jaroslav Klemeš was promoted to Brigadier General. In 2016, he was awarded the highest order of the Czech Republic, the White Lion. Klemeš passed away in the Military University Hospital Prague after a long illness.
Dominic Kuhn reporting there. Now, the idea reportedly originated in Denmark, knitted toy octopuses for babies born prematurely. Babies in neonatal intensive care play with the octopuses the way they would with the umbilical cord if they were still in the womb. Observed health benefits included improved breathing, regular heartbeat and stronger oxygen levels. Jan Wellinger reports.
If the sight of a tiny baby happily clutching a toy knitted octopus in neonatal intensive care at the teaching hospital in Olomouc doesn't melt your heart, nothing probably will. The image and the idea behind it has proven to be a big hit, receiving more than 10,000 likes and 1,000 shares and counting online. The hospital asked for the public for the donation of knitted or crocheted octopuses after they proved popular and effective at similar facilities around the world. Yaroslava Kubešová-Marková is a nurse at the teaching hospital in Olomouc. She gave Czech Radio a brief tour of the intensive care unit, stopping in an incubator with Lukáš, a baby born at 29 weeks.
He's awake just now and playing with a baby octopus. The toy's tentacles are important, serving as a replacement for the umbilical cord he would be playing with if he was still in the womb.
Pavlina is a mom whose own son was also born prematurely and is in the same intensive care unit in Olomouc. And she says she'll later save her son's crocheted octopus as a memento.
I'll save it for him so he'll have something to remember from being born early and from his time in intensive care.
And she herself got on board after seeing the toy's calming effect, becoming one of dozens of volunteers who have now begun making toy octopuses for others in their spare time. And she's already produced and donated 9. Over the last week alone, the hospital in Olomouc received more than 230, though, from all over the Czech Republic, some in person, some by mail. The head physician at the neonatal facility at Olomouc Teaching Hospital, Lumír Kantor, says the idea is a good one.
It was spontaneous and it caught on in the Czech Republic thanks to the association Nedobluklo. It is a purposeful act. The toys are suitable and the babies like them. Anyone who knits toys for children shows they are thinking of them, and that is worth something too.
And of course, if you'd like to knit your own octopus for a prematurely born baby, you can find more information online.
Jan Wellinger reporting there. And now it's time for our regular feature in which we join Czech enthusiasts as they get up steam with Daniela Lazarova.
Petr Widner has a lifelong fascination with steam locomotives. While most of his childhood friends packed up their miniature train sets years ago, Petr transformed his hobby into bigger and better things. He built the second largest mini train railway in the country. 10 years on, his home in Skalsko attracts visitors from far and wide.
I was fascinated with the idea of building a mini train railway since I first saw one in England some 20 years ago. I couldn't tear myself away from it, and I thought, this is something I would really love to build. But it was a pipe dream until I bought a house with a big garden.
This was 15 years ago, and Petr Widner spent the next 5 years transforming the grounds into a landscape which would serve as a perfect setting for his steam railway. The 100-year-old oak tree on the grounds was a perfect landmark, and Petr went about creating a copy of a miniature landscape, a cluster of fir trees, shrubs, a small lake with a railway bridge. Although he is a dentist by profession, he refused to leave the joy of creating his wonderland to a garden architect, carefully planning every detail himself with ample help from friends and neighbours. He is particularly proud of the rail bridge.
That was my idea. The railway must sit naturally in the surrounding environment, not dominate it. I did not want to have just a railway in the garden, but for it to be placed in a real-life setting. And with a railway, you immediately think of a bridge and a tunnel. I knew that a tunnel was out of the question, because it would have completely ruined the garden. But I thought I had a good chance with a miniature lake and railway bridge, and I was right. So there's the lake and a 5-meter-long bridge leading over it.
Today, the rail track is 500 meters long and a mini train ride takes 2 circles around the premises. After years of work and huge expenditures that he doesn't even want to think about, Petr Widner boasts 2 miniature steam-powered locomotives, an electric-powered one, and 3 wagons that can carry 3 adults and 4 children.
I am a steam power enthusiast at heart, and the goal was to build steam engine locomotives, but for practical reasons, so that we could start offering train rides, I and a few friends and neighbors built an electric-powered locomotive in our free time. It took us a month to build one. My first mini steam engine I bought secondhand in Austria, and the second steam-powered locomotive I constructed and built myself with the help of friends.
Although the electric-powered locomotive, which is a meter and a half long and weighs over 100 kilos, is still in excellent shape and running well, it is the steam-powered train that children love to ride. Powering it up takes half an hour, but Peter says that watching him feed it with firewood and seeing smoke belching from the chimney is all part of the magic of steam power.
Parní stroj je jediný stroj, kde je přímo vidět, jak vzniká síla.
The steam engine is a mechanism where you can see with your own eyes how the power is created from fire and water. A steam-powered locomotive feels like a living thing. You watch it huff and puff and come alive.
Petr Vidner's steam train rides have become a major attraction and the family is never short of visitors. Petr says his wife is extremely supportive of his hobby, although he jokes that initially there was a dispute over a vegetable patch and rail track, which was successfully resolved. Mrs. Vidnerová says that even after 10 years, steam power is not her cup of tea.
Well, I can't say that this is a shared hobby. I'm not a technical buff, but I try to support my husband by letting him do what makes him happy, and I cook for the crowd and take care of logistics. Look at it this way. He has no vices, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he's simply passionate about steam trains. Moreover, it is an unusual hobby, and in a way, I'm proud of him.
An unusual hobby it may be, but there are other steam train enthusiasts around the country and many throughout Europe. Petr Vidner says that all the enthusiasts who construct and run mini steam engines observe European norms, which has the advantage that they can take part in domestic and international shows and events or buy spare parts or locomotives second-hand for their home railway.
Once a year, there is an international event in Karlsruhe, and I attend that regularly. Not with my trains, not yet. But I go for inspiration and buy some parts for the railway that it would be difficult for me to produce. There are firms specializing in these mini train and track components in Switzerland, Great Britain, Germany, and now France as well. So going there is always great.
The Skalskogarden Garden Railway, located not far from the town of Mladá Boleslav, north of Prague, is not open to the public permanently. However, visits can be arranged with the owner via email or phone, and weather allowing, he spends most weekends sharing his passion for the steam age with the public.
Feature by Daniela Lazarova was first broadcast in May. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter, where we appear as well. We'll be extremely happy to hear from you. But that's all from me, Chris Johnston. Thanks very much for joining us and goodbye. And those for staying with us on satellite can hear some music by Andrei Havelka. Thank you.
There suddenly appeared before me the only one my arms would hold. I heard somebody whisper, "Please adore me." And when I looked, the moon was gone. Blue moon, now I'm no longer alone. Without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. Interferes with the view, but anyone can see with half an eye that I'm crazy over you. It's hard to see a needle in a haystack, the hay is in the way of the view, but anyone can see with half an eye that I'm crazy over you. You need a telescope to really get the dope of stars up in the blue. But you don't have to buy a telescope to spy that I'm in love with you. It's hard to see the bottom of the ocean. The water interferes with the view. But anyone can see with both eyes shut that I'm crazy over you.
Thank you. got rhythm, I got music, I got my gal who could ask for anything more. I got daisies in green pastures, I got my gal who could ask for anything more. Old man Trouble, I don't mind him, you won't find him round my door. I got starlight, I got sweet dreams, I got my gal who could ask for anything more, who could ask for anything more.
Cares for making money, lives a life that isn't necessarily sunny. Likewise, a man who works for fame, there's no guarantee that time won't raise his name. The fact is, the only work that really brings enjoyment is the kind that is for girl and boy men. Fall in love, you won't regret it. That's the best work of all if you can get it. Holding hands at midnight, near the starry sky. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Strolling with the one girl, sighing sigh after sigh. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Just imagine someone waiting at the cottage door, where two hearts become one. Who could ask for anything more? Loving one who loves you, and then taking that vow. Nice work if you can get it, and if you get it, oh, won't you tell me how?
Thank you. da 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 rab dab do do rattle da dum do da da da. If you can get it, oh, won't you tell me how?